Have you ever heard this music before? If you spend time in the Pacific Northwest, there's a good chance you have. The band's name is Rail. They're out of Seattle, and they've been rocking since the 70s.
Rocking, in fact, to the drumbeat of one of our very own feeder drivers. Kelly Nobles, now a Hermanston, Oregon feeder driver, played for 20 years with Rail before joining UPS in 1989. Kelly joins FNN's Stacia Kelly to reminisce about his role in Rail.
Well, I was the drummer. The four of us started together in junior high, and pretty much it was the only real band we've all been in, and we're continuing to do it from time to time with reunions. But we, through the 70s, we learned to play together and did a few dates with Blue Oyster Cult and Nazareth and a few openings for shows and whatnot. And in 79, we recorded our first album with Mike Fisher from Heart. And in 80, we did the entire North American Van Halen tour in northern United States and Canada, all the Coliseums in every city. And then signed with a management company out of California that had the Beach Boys and Three Dog Night and the Moody Blues. And we were able to tour with them to some extent. And other bands such as Heart and Ted Nugent, and it was quite a run.
That is an incredible summary of quite a career, too. You're making it sound a little too easy, I think. Tell me about the early years of this band, and I must say that this is a rock and roll band.
Yes, well, we've kind of been accused of sounding like a combination between Styx and Rush, maybe Scorpions. Things have mellowed a little more. The other guys just released a CD. I couldn't play on that one. I was on the road, but that's on our website. So we have a wide range of music, a little harder in the earlier years and more like Journey or Styx now. But we were fortunate enough when we were touring to really enjoy each other's company. The three guys in the band were the three finest men I've ever known, and our road crew was with us for 10 years or better each, and there was five or six of them. So we had kind of like quite an entourage, and every tour we'd go out on was a new adventure.
Well, you know, many of us listening may have had a more conventional life, and we're really curious about life on the road with a rock band. Tell me a little bit about it. What was it like? How wild did it really get?
The Van Halen tour was pretty wild. The gentleman I'm with, and that's probably why we were together so long, are a real fine bunch of guys, and we didn't participate in a lot of the things that some of the other bands that we were with did. But, boy, we sure saw a lot of them. David Lee Roth was just as crazy as you would expect and more. And then we did, probably 50 cities with Three Dog Night. Corey Wells, one of the singers, and I became very good friends, and he taught me to fly fish. He writes for Outdoor Sportsman, and he has a couple of world-class records for fly fishing. And some of his friends and the Mamas and the Papas and the Turtles, they've all kind of been through their heyday, and now that they've slowed down a little, their hobby is tying flies and sending them to each other. So you really have both ends of the spectrum.
But at the heart of it all is music and your love of music. When did you first discover that you did have a love of music, and how'd you get started?
We had a school band director that taught not only at the elementary, but at the junior high and at the high school. So Leo Dodd really deserves a lot of the credit. He was a music teacher for all of us. And our stage band would travel to Reno and whatnot, and we really fell into things through the school music program. But as I said, we started in junior high together, so the rock end of it just developed from ninth grade on.
So then did you start playing at clubs and that sort of thing around the Seattle area?
Yes, we actually tried not to too much. We wanted to do the one night, the real show. We had a lot of lights and flash pots and fog machines, and it was hard to go out and do five sets and keep that intensity. So we did do some clubs, and we toured doing some clubs in the earlier years, but we really, really tried to put on a 90-minute show and give it everything we could. And I think one of the most exciting times was not only the Van Halen tour in 80, but in 83 we won the MTV Music Tapes. MTV had just started, and they had a contest, the Battle of the Bands, so to speak. From London to Tokyo, 22,000 bands entered, and every month they'd have voters vote on six bands they'd screen them out of thousands. And then at the end of 6 months, they had six bands left for the grand final, and the prize was a $100,000 record deal and a bunch of stereo stuff and a contract with EMI and a new video for MTV. And it came down to, I believe it was September 1983, and they had the final and ended up winning.
So you got the record contract with EMI. How many records altogether?
It's funny you should say that. We have a couple more that we're just putting out. There's five with some re-releases that we're doing. And actually, if anybody's interested, the website is just about half done. It's real interesting at this point. And some of the music will be available on the website. Can I give you that?
Oh, of course.
It's simple. You just go to railonline.net.
Okay. and we can catch samples of our own, although we're playing some here on FNN today, too.
Oh, that's fantastic.
On the road, and tell me about disbanding for a while.
We were on the road constantly. You know, we had bought our semi and a huge PA and sound and lights, and so we had to play to those payments, probably 200 cities a year. And that's part of the disbanding process. Terry, our lead singer, married early in this process, and the other two married after that, and they've always been strong family people and real committed to their wives, and they started to have families. And as we started touring into the mid-80s, Rick was the first one to take a little hiatus, and we had a guitar player by the name of Ronnie Montrose, who formed his own band with Sammy Hager as the lead singer. But Ronnie played with us for a short time until Rick came back. And then in the later 80s, everybody's families were getting older, their kids were getting older, and they really felt compelled to be with their families. So that's when we started slowing down a little bit. And finally, in about 88, 89, we stopped touring altogether. And that's about the time I moved down here.
So disbanded is probably too strong a word, though, because you still come together for reunion CDs and such.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's almost like going to a high school reunion when we get to do the dates in Seattle. We're looking forward to do some other markets. Denver and Salt Lake were real strong markets for us. And part of the reason we're able to get this reunion stuff back together is there's a museum in Seattle that Paul Allen from Microsoft is putting together. It's a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, sort of. He's putting $60 million into a huge building at the base of the Space Needle in the Seattle Center. I think it's 140,000 square feet. And he has exhibits from all the Northwest acts. I think there'll be some national acts there, too. It's going to be quite a sight to see. And we were fortunate enough to get an exhibit there, too. And so we decided we'd put the website together and maybe start doing a CD a year, maybe more as a hobby than anything. But with the exposure from the museum and the website, hopefully we can keep this alive a little bit.
That's great. This museum does sound like it's going to be a fabulous place. It's called the Experience Music Project, and it will be, as you said, right by the space there. What will your band, Rail, have on exhibit at this place?
They've just about got the exhibit finished, and I haven't seen it yet. I do know Terry was notorious, our lead singer. He wore fur boots up to his knees, and they were a trademark of our band, and every fan that knows us, you know, if he didn't have the boots on, something was wrong. So they have the fur boots, and they have some of the, I used to wear a lot of leather when I played, and it had some studs in it, and chokers and wristbands and vests and stuff. And so they have our clothes, and I know Terry and Rick gave them some guitars to display, but I'm not sure if they'll be in the display.
What was it like to be a rock star? Come on, tell us what it feels like to be up there with all those screaming fans just going crazy for you.
Oh, I'll tell you, I think the biggest chill I remember was opening for Van Halen in Detroit with over 20,000 people, and you know, when the lights go out and everybody, the roar just goes through the building, and you're scared to death. You
know? Really?
It's adrenaline, too, but oh, there's a big element of fear, although you would not scared as in you want to run away, but you want to get out there and you just want to get everything you got, and then as soon as you win them over, the rest of the show is just like being in heaven.
Wow. Exciting. Hey, what are the similarities between being a rock star and being a feeder driver?
Well, the biggest similarity was we were always on the road, traveling constantly, and I enjoy it. It hasn't been a change at all as far as that's concerned. Of course, you're seeing a lot of people all the time. I think the biggest similarity, though, would be the constant traveling.
Now, the museum is opening up when?
It'll be this spring. spring. They haven't got a specific date. They've talked about May or June. I'm sure they're about to release that debut date. And they're also talking about having bands for 2 weeks do concerts every day, national acts and regional acts, and we're hoping to be slated in that as well.
Well, give us plenty of warning, and we'll help spread the news on FNN.
And if you can't make it to Seattle right away, remember you can catch Kelly Nobles and Rail online. The address is www.railonline.net.
Following in your footsteps to a place in